Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't bang like that.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, August 31st, 2023. Lots going on, strategy of tension stuff going on. I mentioned the Maui stuff, Eric West's Hawaii Real Estate Channel. I think I'm going to make an effort to have him on the broadcast if that's possible. You know, and one of the things that makes me curious is he posted a thing, a community post, or it's on his channel, I should say. Hawaii Real Estate, this was 4 days ago, apparently. Now, Hawaii Real Estate org channel, YouTube channel, reached 1 million views per day this morning. So I guess that would be the 27th, somewhere around there. Thanks to you sharing, subscribing, etc. And so in this community post, it says, I propose we create a worldwide fund called Buyback Lahaina, whereby every mortgage is paid off by private donations that go directly to the banks of the individual landowners. I think this is critical first fundraising step, since we know how insurance companies operate and most homeowners are underinsured with a loan. This will take away at least one of the enemy's advantages. What are your thoughts? Does this make sense? How do you suggest we facilitate and administrate? And there are some folks that comment. He's a realtor. There's been obvious skepticism. There was the other post I thought I'd mention. They had another fire in Kaanapali. And the post on that says, now we have multiple Chinook helicopters putting out the 3-acre brush fire, multiple for this 1 3-acre fire. On the day of the Lahaina Town fire, it burned for 8 hours. It would have taken a Chinook helicopter a mere 30 minutes to fly from Oahu to Lahaina Town. Why did that not happen? Let me know your theory in the comments. P.S. Today the sirens went off and we received multiple text messages warning us. Now they're putting on a big show of how they're competent. And, you know, speaking of all of that, I mean, there was the, you know, this is very controversial territory, obviously. And all of the folks involved, very strange stuff. What's the guy's name? I forget the guy's name. The emergency management guy who resigned. I talked about that earlier. I forget his name. Who said they didn't sound the sirens because, you know, they were for, what was it, tsunamis? Not hurricanes, I don't think. Anyway, not for fires, but actually that's not true. Turns out that's not true. And, you know, they were used. You know, you can look at this, the Kaanapali fire, and say, well, you know, they worked real fast to get things figured out, and you know, that sounds disingenuous, but and there are a number of other issues. The guy from Las Vegas, what's his name? And you know, the book, ridiculous book published in real time that even Snopes doesn't know. Well, it wasn't actually published before, but it sort of was. It was published during. I talked about that. So Eric West has some interesting posts, and people are upset. You know, one of the things that you see repeatedly is people saying, okay, so we're giving, you know, Ukraine has a blank check, but, you know, people in Maui, people on Maui or in Lahaina specifically in that area, they get $700. That's the help that they get. There was a post on Eric West's Hawaii Real Estate YouTube channel that I circulated a little bit, and it kind of sums things up pretty well, I would say. I thought, you know, maybe I'd read that at some point. There was another thing, you know, while I'm on the subject, a couple of things actually. I wanted to do the narcissist stuff. Maybe I'll do that first, and then we'll come back to the other thing. Where is that? Man, I thought for sure. Where did I put that? That's irritating. Maybe it's a sign of senility. I don't know. Maybe I'm just losing it. Maybe not. That was interesting as a side note that the Fort Peck Indian Reservation in Montana has spent the past two decades actively working to revive bison populations, which at one point were near extinction. There's a story on it. CBS News did a story on it. Montana Indian Reservation seeks to restore bison populations. I guess they didn't get the memo. You remember we played that clip a few times actually from Aaron and Melissa Dyke's series Lost in the Shining Motel, I think it's titled, including the clip, you know, where the buffalo population was intentionally destroyed as a means of indirectly destroying the Native American population, because that was their primary source of all kinds of things. I wonder if that's in our overlooked, Lost in the Shining Hotel. Yeah. Played that a few times. I wonder if this is the spot, actually. It probably is. Maybe we could play that real fast, just for fun. Speaking of this, yeah. Maybe not. Yeah, you know what? Why don't we do this just for grins, because we can. So there's that section about 1 hour, 15 minutes into Overlooked, Lost in the Shining Hotel, episode one, the environment. Kubrick was an interesting guy, wasn't he? Okay. You know, we'll table that, and we'll go to the phones. real quick. Jim Lee? Do we have Jim Lee on the line?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
All right, Jim. It's been a while since we've talked. I was saying earlier today's broadcast, the last time you and I talked, I think I was asking you about the Hugo stuff and how that was going, the web development stuff, and you were doing that yourself.
Yeah, I managed to combine weathermodificationhistory.com and climateviewer.com into one mega site to rule them all.
Yeah, I saw that, and I mentioned that earlier also, and I said that I was interested in talking to you about that. So anyway, welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, Mer Bailey and Brian Bennett were on my butt yesterday to call you.
Uh-huh.
It must be important. What's going on, man?
Well, lots, you know, hurricanes and fires and disasters. Oh, my.
Tell me about it. I just had one pass through my backyard last night, and Adelia decided to spare my entire yard except for the sunroof on my Toyota Highlander.
Interesting.
Yeah. One limb down in the entire yard happens to hit my sunroof. So
yeah.
That's been the emergency of the morning. But other than that, we were unscathed, to say the least.
So these names are interesting. If you look up Adelia in any of the, you know, like the baby naming things, it says Behold the Sun is the name, which is, you know, arguably esoteric. You know, I just throw that out there because that obviously provokes folks who are suspicious of all things and have, you know, are familiar with your work, for example, and know that it is possible to control the weather. I don't know where you want to jump in on all of this. I don't know if you want to talk about Maui or if you just want to talk hurricanes or, you know, I am not as well versed as you, I would say. I've mentioned your work. I talked about the fact that guys like Bill Gates want to, I mean, I think people forget about his projects in decades past to create or control hurricanes, for example, or Michio Kaku on CBS News, you know, talking about how easy it is to spin up a hurricane off the Florida Keys. There was that CBS News thing that he did where he said, it's like bowling, you know, we just spin it up off the African coast and right into the Florida Keys it goes. And that was CBS News. But we just have this, you know, perpetual propensity,
yeah,
it seems, to forget those things.
I did a video Sunday at Climate Viewer on YouTube, Hurricane Control, debunking the fact checkers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of my new favorite hobbies, is taking, you know, the lamestream media's fact checks and then poking holes in everything that they're saying. Because generally speaking, if they're debunking somebody's Instagram video, then obviously there's some truth to it. Otherwise, they wouldn't even point it out. When I started doing this, it was interesting to note that they were literally picking on, you know, Instagram or Twitter, you know, tweets that only had like 300 retweets or something, you know what I mean? Something so small.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you know, like, why even the concern? I mean, I can understand if something's got like 1.5 million likes or retweets or whatever.
Yeah.
But
it's probably, I would say, those are usually, you know, part of the astroturfing campaign. Obviously, it's, you know, it's a straw man deal, right? They pick their own little bot that they are going to debunk, and it's usually in a way that is not exactly on point. Obviously, it's something that's easy to discredit. Someone that's easy to discredit, and not someone who, not like you, obviously.
Well, in this specific case, the guy was right on so many points, but he used the term geoengineering when referring to hurricane modification. Mm-hmm. So they made their whole, you know, fact check about the fact that geoengineering really has nothing to do with weather control, when that's not true. Mm-hmm. And not to get too deep into it, weather modification technically is not geoengineering, but geoengineering will certainly modify weather. Mm-hmm. Because if you control, if you, especially when we're talking about geoengineering, specifically solar geoengineering or stratospheric aerosol injection, if you try to block sunlight to control the temperature of the planet, you will affect rainfall patterns worldwide. Therefore, climate modification is weather modification. Mm-hmm. Now, conversely, weather modification, which is supposed to be a local thing, is now being done on such a large scale, like with what's going on in China in the Himalayas. There, China is basically covering the entire Himalayan plateau in hundreds of thousands of cloud seeding generators. They're ground-based. Mm-hmm. When you do something that, you know, it's like two-thirds the size of Spain in landmass, when you do a weather modification project that's that large, it can jump the border and become geoengineered. And because of the altitude at which they're putting these cloud seeding generators, the technology could easily be converted to geoengineering, because you already have basically what's called orographic cloud seeding. It uses wind that's hitting the mountain faces to carry the particles up into the sky. And if you're already at a high altitude, you already have those winds, then lofting things particularly into the stratosphere is possible. The ETC group, which it runs geoengineeringmonitor.org, and Dr. James Roger Fleming, whom I tweeted about this Chinese experiment, both agreed that what China's weather modification project could be considered a geoengineering project. At the end of the day, they want to, like, they want to focus on terminology so much. Like, God forbid you say the C word, because if you say the C word, they're going to say chemtrails are not a thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, contrail-induced cirrus cloud, aviation-induced cloudiness, the list goes on. If you go to any peer-reviewed journal right now and you look up IATA is targeting non-CO2 emissions from the airline industry, you'll just read it right there in black and white. Oh, it's the clouds. It's the clouds and carbon black dust and soot and all the metals. They're not focusing on the greenhouse gases anymore. They're actually talking about the clouds. I call them plane farts. You know, the plane farts are the problem. And I'm going to have an interview with Dr. Shiva Ayadari Monday. And I'm going to specifically, you know, like a laser in on this, that there are no studies of, you know, all of these chemicals that are, you know, being spewed out of 1.5 million barrels of jet fuel per day. 1 million tons of carbon black nanoparticles per year. And these are just numbers that I can rattle off the top of my head, but nobody's ever done an estimate of how many tons of metal particles are being lofted into the atmosphere every single year, and or what the human health effects of those are.
And, you know, for those who maybe aren't well versed on the subject matter and maybe think this all sounds crazy, you know, the mainstream media gaslights us all on this, you can go to Harvard's solar geoengineering research program at geoengineering.environment.harvard.edu and read about this stuff and see, for example, you know, Harvard says, what is geoengineering? Geoengineering refers to a set of emerging technologies that could manipulate the environment and partially offset some of the impacts of climate change. And They say broadly, geoengineering is conventionally split into two categories. The first is carbon geoengineering, often also called carbon dioxide removal, CDR. The other is solar geoengineering, often also called solar radiation management, SRM. And you can look at...
And they're constantly moving the goalposts just on the terminology.
Yeah, right.
So carbon
right.
dioxide and removal and stratospheric aerosol injection... Just the term geoengineering. They went from calling it geoengineering. They said, no, we need to rebrand this to climate engineering. So there was a group called the DC Geoengineering Group, like Washington, DC Geoengineering Group. They changed their name to the FCEA, Forum for Climate Engineering Assessment, during this time. And I knew a lot of these guys, you know what I mean? Like, I heckled them regularly. I was like, look at you changing your name because perception management. And then climate engineering still had the engineering word in it, and everybody knows that anything engineered can break because it's made by humans, and you don't want to break the environment or the climate. So James Roger Fleming, when he was at the National Science Foundation's meeting, titled Climate Intervention, which incidentally had $630,000 worth of CIA money funding it, they redubbed it Climate Intervention. So when you're Googling this, you can see geoengineering, climate intervention, and now the catch-all is solar geoengineering. And the same was true with carbon dioxide removal. It was called that forever. And that, you know, involves direct air capture, carbon capture and storage where they pump it underground.
Carbon sequestration, which sounds ridiculous.
Carbon sequestration is another common term. But now they've dumbed it down to just solar geoengineering and carbon geoengineering. It's funny they come full circle and then they go back to just, okay, fine, it's geoengineering. People won't stop using the damn word. That's what we're going to call it.
The irony that I'm trying to point out is that, you know, if you're not familiar and you think this is some big conspiracy type deal, you know, like people are making this up, you can go to Harvard and see that they have, you know, visuals and all kinds of things. They try to put it out as plausibly deniable in the sense that maybe – we can do this sometime, but you know, they're doing it, and there are all kinds of research papers. In fact, I will just add that, you know, on the homepage of the project, Harvard Solar Geoengineering Research Program, again, geoengineering.environment.harvard.edu, you scroll down to the bottom of that page, under the section titled Publications, you see how to argue about solar geoengineering, the value of information about solar geoengineering, and the two-sided cost of bias, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's pretty – it should be kind of self-evident to people that it's, you know, propaganda central for this kind of stuff.
Well, what I would point out is that on that Harvard page is a group called the Keutch Group, and it's K-E-U-T-S-E-H. And it's Frank Keutch, and they put him as the head of it because they didn't want to put David Keith group on there.
Right.
But basically, the Keutch Group at the Harvard Solar Geoengineering Program is responsible for SCOPEX, which is the Stratospheric Controlled Perturbation Experiment. And this is basically David Keith and Bill Gates. Bill Gates is a large funder of this program. They have what's called the Strato Cruiser. They tried to launch it in Arizona. They failed. They tried to launch it one other place, and then they finally tried to launch it in Sweden. In swoops the ETC group and, you know, the geoengineeringmonitor.org people, et cetera group is what I always call them, but it's Emerging Technology Coalition or something like that. The ETC group comes and gets a group of like 110 civil societies, the hands-off Mother Earth manifesto to ban geoengineering. Then they write a letter directly to the rocket range in Sweden, to the Andoya rocket range. Hey, we don't want geoengineering. What these guys are doing is geoengineering. Don't allow them to launch their balloon. And David Keith never got to launch his balloon. So the argument is that while there's what I would call university slash communitarian law based geoengineering that they plausibly deny happens because they haven't done the experiments, because the 2010 Convention on Biological Diversity banned outdoor experiments of geoengineering, because it hasn't been solved at the United Nations level on governance. So technically there's no legal, air quotes, legal geoengineering, because they want to get all of their communitarian laws in place. They have to decide how to pay the dead people, because they know that geoengineering will kill people. In fact, David Keith said, if I put 1 million tons of sulfur into the air, that will kill many tens of thousands of people. So they're trying to go with calcium carbonate specifically with their Scopex project. Regardless, there's this disconnect between what the, call them what you want, technocrats, collectivists, some people like to use that term, communitarians, much more accurate, that the community, for the community's good, this sounds so communist.
Yeah.
You know, your personal rights should be surrendered, that we should subvert your constitution because polar bears and stuff. I'm not gonna cuss.
Your constitution and your so-called constitutional rights are endangering, or, you know, your constitutionally safeguarded rights are endangering folks in here and there and everywhere.
And
we have a responsibility to protect.
And communitarianism also sees capitalism as a bad thing. But
it's ironic because it's not capitalism is a bad thing. Capitalism, when you guys engage in it, is a bad thing. But we need to create a public-private partnership, and there's a little bit of capitalism rolled into the fascist pie. Somehow these people manage to enrich themselves in very, you know, obscene ways, but the rest of us are impoverished.
Well, a direct example of that's a company called Make Sunset. Luke Eisman and Andrew Song started up Make Sunsets. You can check it out at makesunsets.com. And these two fools literally are taking money from people, investors, to sell them cooling credits. And for each cooling credit you buy, they will throw a balloon filled with sulfur into the sky to do geoengineering to cool the planet. They did that in Baja, off the Baja Peninsula, as a result of, you know, I reported on it, you know, like first, pretty sure, and then it was picked up by Fox News. I did a follow-up on it, and then the next thing I knew, the Mexican government was banning geoengineering because of what Andrew Song and Luke Eisman were doing. So then they went and filled out a NOAA form, part of the Weather Modification Reporting Act of 1972. So they filled out a NOAA form 17-4. And on it, Luke Eisman wrote, in the worst chicken scratch you've ever seen, start date 2023, end date 2223. So the next 200 years, they're going to geoengineer and make a dollar off of it.
Of course. Yeah, we're headed into a break. Folks, we'll be right back. Stick around.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, August 31st, 2023, joined by Jim Lee. Jim, you're still here, right? Do we still have Jim?
Yeah, I do. I had to unmute.
Oh, okay. Good. All right, so you called in. I should back up a little bit. That was precipitated, I would say, by Brian Washington's call last Friday. I've mentioned, we haven't even gotten into this yet, but I'm just giving a little bit of background. I mentioned a thing or two that Dane Wigington was doing in relation to the Maui stuff, I think. Brian called in, has some comments about that, said that, you know, we should, you know, try to get you on. And I said, you know, if we were going to have the conversation properly, I thought we should have Dane Wigington involved in that too. So that's just kind of a little bit of background for folks listening. And we can unpack that a little bit. I did want to say, you know, you mentioned the communitarian subject. People call it communist, this, that, whatever. Communitarian is kind of a broad term. I would call it satanic or theosophical specifically. But, you know, Nikki Friedrich Rapana was probably the foremost authority on the good guy side of the communitarian bent or the discussion and investigation of it. couple of things that she reminded us. She said in communitarian doublespeak, community means totalitarian cult. Be skeptical of anyone promoting a vague idea of community. And
that's good.
She also reminded us that anyone exposing quote-unquote communitarianism who omits Zionism is disinfo. The communitarian guru's name means tree of life from Zion. Duh. She used to say that. So, and there's more, but you know, I'll leave it at that for the time being. I would call it theosophical, though. And satanic. I think communitarian, you know, that to me is a term of art also to obfuscate, similar in fashion to what you were talking about with the terms of art related to, you know, the geoengineering stuff. And like you said, and climate change nonsense, climate intervention, geoengineering, all that. And like you said, Frank Kitch's piece on Harvard.
Yeah, these are all slave speak terms. Let's be realistic. Yeah. So slave speak is language that maintains the master-slave relationship. Anybody who uses high-level descriptors versus low-level descriptors, whenever I try to explain things to somebody, I try to use as many low-level descriptors as possible because I want it to us to both have a clear understanding of what I'm talking about. Low-level descriptors are soccer ball, an orange, an apple, a baseball. You and I both know what they are. We can hold them in our hands. They're not ethereal. And we're not going to argue about what the difference is. Now, of course, if you're from Europe, you might say soccer ball is actually a football, but I digress. High-level descriptors like good, evil, God, government, communitarian, communist, fascist. These terms are highly disagreeable. They mean different things to different people based on their own belief systems and life experiences. And therefore, they are subject to manipulation. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's the old aphorism ascribed to Einstein, but there's no proof. Apparently, everything should be made as simple as possible, but no simpler. The technique of infamy, though, in this case, is to invent or co-opt and conscript terms of art that intentionally have a duality in meaning. That's usually what happens, where, you know, the general public assumes and assigns some meaning to it, or maybe it's ambiguous enough that it can keep shifting and changing. As I would say is the case with communitarianism, it's intended to be an obfuscative term, and you're only supposed to know what it means based on the interpreters, you know, the
right. Because to me, it, you know, I think of, you know, the Mayflower experiment, you know, where everybody thought that we could just come over and be a community and everything would be hunky-dory. But inevitably, there's a guy who sits on his ass who does not want to work. And how he's supposed to get the fruits of my labor? It does not work. It never has worked. In fact, I have a map on climateviewer.org. showing all of these different utopian in search of utopia, all of these cities around America that were designed to be that model that failed and are now ghost towns. Mm-hmm. So there's always been this ideology that somehow we could all just get along and, you know, for the greater good, you know, to each of, you know, each according to his need. It never works.
Well, I mean, so that's an interesting little, you know, side discussion. I have said, you know, I'll give a little background to this. About 15 years ago, I think it was about 2007, 2008, I want to say, a friend, a dear, close friend of mine, called me one night. late. It was very strange. He never did that kind of thing. I thought something was wrong. And he said, Chris, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. I think communism is a religion. Don't tell me what you think now, but think about it. Tell me what you think later. And I ended up thinking about it for more than a decade. It was only fairly recently, actually, after the last 15 years or so, that it sort of, I figured out what this is. And, along the way, I gave these responses that were not quite accurate. And finally, it dawned on me that slogan, the communist slogan, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need, is the exact counterfeit of the Pentecostal moment in the book of Acts, beginning, in like Acts 2:45, for example. That's what they're doing. They're sharing these things, everybody's selling their stuff and sharing it as people have need. And so to the untrained eye, perhaps, this looks like communism. So you got guys like Raphael Warnock, Georgia senator, who's also the pastor, so-called, at Martin Luther King's church, Ebenezer Baptist Church. This is a big deal. So guys like Raphael Warnock say that the early church was socialist, and that's not true. But who can correctly discern why that's not true? And the answer is what I call a two-part question: who's in charge, who decides? And the point is, in the book of Acts, in the Pentecostal moment that is the basis of the Christian church, God is deciding. The Holy Spirit is impressing. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit there, and the Spirit is the one that is impressing upon the hearts of the people to do whatever they're doing. And the ultimate proof of that, it's not state coercion. The ultimate proof of that is the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and they're both confronted individually by Peter, the Apostle Peter. And, he's the ultimate sort of unimpeachable witness in this discussion, in this context anyway, because like Jesus said, on this rock I will, the church will be established. That's Peter. So this guy who's kind of the head of this group of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the one who confronts Ananias and Sapphira separately. And basically the story is they were compelled by the Holy Spirit to sell a piece of property and to, give the proceeds to this group as they have need. And what they did was they held back a portion of the proceeds. And when Peter confronts them each separately, he doesn't say, why did you lie to, the church, or the state would be the socialist communist implication. He says, why did you lie to God? And it was the Holy Spirit that was working in their heart that made them want to sell this piece of property in the first place. So the point is, in the book of Acts, it's the Holy Spirit who's in charge and who's deciding. It's God. But with all of this other stuff, it's obviously not. It's the God of this world, and I would point people to 1 John 5:19 in that context. And so that's why I say, communitarianism is theosophical and satanic above all.
But here's the counter argument to that. Whether you call them technocrats, whether you call them globalists, whether you call them communitarianists, the commonality is there's a rift between religion and science. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't religious scientists. And that doesn't mean there aren't scientific religion believers, but by and large, the people who believe in a one-world government, who are pushing the agenda of government is greater than God, would say no God before government. So you have to kind of balance that out and say, Well, if they don't believe in God, then they clearly don't believe in Satan.
I don't think that's true, though. I don't think that they don't believe in God. I don't think that, you know, guys like Etzioni, for example, or Klaus Schwab, or Bill Gates, or so many other folks.
You think they're regular churchgoers? They write a check to the church and they call it a day?
Actually,
they pray regularly.
If you dive down the rabbit hole of the Lucius Trust, you'll find that the Gates Foundation and Rockefeller and, you know, a number of very, very Soros, you know, these are folks that keep Lucius Trust going and have since its inception. And so they attend different services, kind of like Barack Obama. You know, is he a Christian? Is he Muslim? He's none. He's a theosophist, you know, and these things converge in the esoteric, theosophical environment. You know, they're pushing an agenda, basically in simple terms, that is the, you know, the Great Reset is the in truth, it's the reemergence of the great unfinished work of Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel that God came down and disrupted. And historically, if we go back, there has been this impulse to try to redo that. And I would say it really is most notably recognized or identified as the Hellenistic impulse of ancient history. And that's what I think America represents today, is the tip of the spear, not necessarily as the – I would say it's more British intrigue behind the tip of the spear, but that is the old ancient, you know, Roman Empire – revived, and America is the tip of the spear going around spreading this Hellenizing influence to get us all marching in lockstep. And this incorporates the science versus religion stuff. Religion has been used historically as a weapon and a cudgel, but science is being used in that fashion now too, obviously. And I'm not talking about
it's modern day excommunication from the church. Would you agree on that?
I'm not sure.
At one point the Catholic Church had such a large hold over people's lives that one of your greatest fears could be excommunication from the church, because not only would you be shunned in public, but you believed you didn't have an afterlife and all of that. They wielded this like a gun. And the same is true of the communitarians, the technocrats, the one world government, you know, which, you know, obviously had its birth in technocracy, moved to what was called the New World Federalists. And, you know, this was spurred through like James Warburg and a bunch of guys who, you know, moved to this New World Federalist model. It was one of the largest private groups in America during the 60s and 70s into the 80s. And now you see this emergence of, you know, the ideology behind global warming. I'm gonna circle back, if you don't mind the reference there, to what you said about Dane Wigington. Mm-hmm. Dane Wigington will never be on the same audio or video as me ever, because he's scared to death of me. And the reason why he's scared to death of me is because I see right through him. And he is a global warming believer. He believes that methane is going to kill everybody on the planet. You don't believe me, go to geoengineeringwatch.org. Or just go to Google and type in methane, site:geoengineeringwatch.org. And then you can read all of his methane doom there. So he's in lockstep with the same people that are trying to enslave people with climate lockdowns and climate clocks that are set to go off in 2029, all of which are in lockstep with BlackRock and ESG and circumventing, you know, the old capitalist ways for social credit given to them by the banksters. in order to circumvent our Constitution, what, for the greater good? No, to pad the wallets of these rich elites who are, you know, basically held gunpoint by BlackRock. Bud Light did what they did because Larry Fink said he needed to force behavior.
Right.
And so they did, at their own peril. But
so
they're more scared of not being able to get a loan than they are from not being able to sell a beer.
Right. And so, you know, I appreciate all of that. My point was only that I think it would be good to at least make an effort. And I think it would be fantastic to, you know, have you guys on and to together if we could arrange it, you know, but to give him the opportunity to
God coming down from heaven.
Well, hold on.
Could not arrange a debate or even a friendly conversation between me and Dane Wigington because
I would be interested
in
trying to arrange it. So here's my point, though. Here's my point.
You're welcome to try.
Here's my point, though. Vivek Ramaswamy is a guy who's been pretty outspoken about the ESG stuff. He's written books about it. And, you know, all of the things that go along with it, DEI and all of these other goofy, all of this same territory, you know, parallel discussions. And I saw Fox News. He did an interview recently, and the Fox News video title was Vivek Ramaswamy on Media Criticism. My position has been caricatured. And this was a point that I was making, ironically, a couple days before that. And so, you know, for someone like him, who is extremely well-versed on the subject matter, to be criticized by his, you know, by folks who are intellectually inferior, at least on the subject, certainly, is sort of absurd. And so, you know, this is kind of a practice that we've been engaging in or conditioned to engage in America, I would say. You know, we as he put it, you know, we caricature or we adopt the caricaturization of presumed political opponents or whatever. I'm just saying I think it would be great to try to facilitate and foster civil discourse to, you know, understand. I mean, maybe Dane Wigington is controlled opposition. If that's the case, then I always think it's best to let somebody, you know, give them enough rope to hang themselves, basically.
Right.
And
but here's the case with that. Now, I did a video just recently on it where I aired his ass out to dry. And I only did this because previously, you know, he's sicked his lawyer on me. He's done, you know, he stole my patent list. He took credit for it. He stole Dutch Spence's article on HARP. He took credit for it. He's been on Alex Jones saying that he did all this research. He did none of it. I had made many videos about him in the past. And I said, you know what? For the benefit of the community, which is not a thing, I'm going to take this stuff down. Then he continued his pattern of lawfare against anybody else in the geoengineering/chemtrail community.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, basically took out my friend Max Bliss channel. He had 12,000 subscribers. This is when the last time I spoke to Dane on the phone, I said, mm-hmm. Dane, you know, we're same side, friendly fire.
Yeah.
The guy put up your Mount Shasta video. Can you just take the copyright strike back?
I remember, I think you and I had a conversation about that, actually. I think this was one of the first things we actually talked about, anyway.
Right. So when that happened, Dane says, no, I will not take it back. And obviously, my one strike cannot take his channel down, so he already had two strikes, so that's his problem.
Mm-hmm.
So is he an egomaniac? Is he a narcissist? Certainly. Is he controlled off? I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah.
He is an asshole. This is 100%, you know, verified fact from his neighbors, many of which I've talked to on the phone, from Suzanne Marr, who literally did the Bye-Bye Blue Sky, she organized that Mount Shasta meeting that he hijacked.
Well,
he used the video of to copyright strike to delete Max Bliss's channel.
Now, most people that do the kind of research that we're talking about are, you know, I would call them extreme type A's to sort of contextualize it. And
I'm
that doesn't necessarily. What's
that? Extreme type A.
That's kind of my point.
I'm such an alpha dog that I'm willing to say right here on Republic Broadcasting Network that not only would I debate him in any format, any time, and I've said this for a decade now, and I will whip his ass inside out.
Well, let's keep it family friendly, though.
If I ever physically met him, I probably would do exactly that because he is a bully. Now, Renette Senham, I partnered up with her to help her in her lawsuit against Make Sunsets. When Dane Wigington came after Renette, the gloves came off. He just did it to Jamie Lee, a plain truth. We couldn't disagree more on flat earth versus round earth. We agree a lot on directed energy weapons. But I've never spoken to Jamie Lee before, and I saw Jamie put up a video. And, of course, I reacted to Jamie's video and told what, you know, my personal experiences, plus the personal experiences of Suzanne Marr, Max Bliss, Patrick Roddy, Michael Murphy, how he, you know, Michael Murphy made this man famous. And when Michael Murphy was going through a drug problem, Dane called every one of his family members and cut him off from his own family, then defamed him in public. Defame and shame. The guy who made him famous.
We're less than a minute away from the end of today's broadcast, so.
So I would wrap it up with this. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of BS in the community, air quotes community, and communitarian law and this ideology that you can have both in the same, you know, individual, someone who believes in global warming, we're all going to die, I'm normalizing the fact that geoengineering is occurring, but what's going to save us from methane erupting while I lawfare all the other people off the internet? I think that's very troubling.
Yeah, I see your point for sure. And I could see how, you know, I mean, I think there's more to the story. And unfortunately, or there's possibly potentially more to the story. And anyway, now we're out of time. So
appreciate you having me, Chris.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Maybe we can reprise the discussion at some point. And who knows, maybe it would be possible to get Dane on the broadcast at the same time. That would be interesting. Thanks for calling in, Jim. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Beth.
That'll do it for today's broadcast, folks. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.